Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, which is on page 1176 in the Church Bible. And I'm reading from verse 21 through to the end of the chapter. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 onwards. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all we can read in that wonderful, wonderful word. And we pray that we may take it in and listen very carefully to what you have to say to us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the joys of preaching a series of sermons from a book or an epistle is that you get continuity of teaching and an understanding. It also helps with planning, because you're not scratching around trying to think what to preach on, because it just flows through the book. We get to know the writer, and we learn what he has to say, to teach and to impart to us. And we begin to understand the context of the lives of the hearers, and to understand what they are experiencing. We also get to see that the people at the time faced similar problems to those we face today. On the other hand, one of the difficulties of preaching such a series is that you have to take the rough with the smooth and deal with both the joyful, easy verses as well as the difficult passages. And that last comment describes part of today's passage. Difficult. Cultural and social attitudes have changed dramatically over the 2,000 years since this epistle to the Ephesians was written. And so relating what Paul has to say to us on certain issues isn't easy. However, it is important for us to look at these issues and not ignore them. And we have to take into account what the apostle has to say and see how we can apply his words to today. The main thrust of the few verses that I want to focus on concerns submission. That is, submitting to others. Now, generally speaking, we don't like to submit to anyone else, do we? We always want to be the one in control. And the thought of submitting to anyone is anathema to the majority of us, which is why it's such a contentious subject. It's also controversial, since submission can involve obedience and discipline, qualities which in many ways are sadly lacking in 2023. In the modern age in which we find ourselves, the vast majority of people appear to be totally self-centred and have the attitudes of me, 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 which is why they don't like the thought of submitting to anyone. In his commentary on Ephesians, the American pastor and commentator John MacArthur writes, "The self-centered life is always in a battle for the top and pushes others down as it climbs up in pride." Compare that thought with what the Apostle Paul told the Philippians. "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And that's quite a contrast. In that strange sport of the World Wrestling Federation, which some of you may have heard of, it's an American import, which can be seen on satellite TV, a submission involves violence of some sort. Force, violence. Thankfully, in this passage, submission involves love and respect. And that's quite a difference. And with that in mind, the first verse I want us to look at is really interesting, if rather short verse. In the NIV that we have here, and the New English Bible versions of the Bible, the verse appears as a single sentence in a single paragraph. In other versions of Scripture, it appears as the final clause in the longer preceding paragraph. Now, I mention this not as part of an English lesson, but to highlight the importance of what Paul has to say in these few words. In the NIV, the apostle actually writes, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." The late John Stott, a well-known minister and commentator, wrote in his commentary on that verse, "Those who are truly subject to Jesus Christ do not find it difficult to submit to each other as well." To understand what Paul is saying here, I want us to think about the verse in two halves, as that's the way it seems to flow. Firstly, Paul's desire is that we submit to one another, which I read as meaning our Christian brothers and sisters, although I'll expand on that thought a little later. Now, the word submit has multiple meanings, which can include to surrender, to yield, to give in, to comply or to succumb. And I would suggest that none of those meanings truly apply here. However, the word defer can also carry the meaning of a voluntary yielding or submitting out of respect or reverence for, or deference and affection toward another, which is exactly what Paul is looking for. He doesn't want us to roll over and give in or to let ourselves be walked over by others. He does want us, though, to take others' feelings and needs into consideration when we do anything. And it's important for us to understand that submission is not a sign of weakness, but could possibly be seen as a sign of strength and confidence. The act of submission involves many things, but especially humility. As part of our being submissive, we need to humble ourselves and consider the feelings of others rather than ourselves and behave accordingly towards them. When we come to faith in Christ as Lord and Saviour, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit and are filled by Him. And as part of that being filled, He will lead us to an act of humility and willingness to submit to others. Whatever we do, we should avoid lording it over people. In Mark 10, we can read of the time when James and John asked to sit at the right and left hands of Jesus Christ. And following that request, Jesus spoke to the other 10 disciples and told them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We should never forget that Jesus came to serve. And if we believe in him and follow him, then we too should be willing to serve, something which involves a level of submission. Scripture has many examples of how we can both serve and show humility. For instance, in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to be kind and compassionate. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are told to love one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul tells us to encourage and build up one another. Whilst in 1 Corinthians 12, we are urged to show concern for each other. And in Galatians 6, we are urged to carry each other's burdens. A very important comment comes in Romans 15, where Paul tells us, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you. Remember that Jesus Christ accepted us into his family unconditionally, despite all our sins and faults. And we should do the same with our brothers and sisters. We're all different. We all come from different backgrounds and live in different situations. And yet, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are equals. And that means we should accept one another as equals, rather than looking down on people and focusing on any perceived differences. As part of our submitting, it's also important that we follow God's will for our lives. Consequently, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should always try and be like him. And that means following God's will for our lives. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed, Jesus knew what was about to happen, and yet fell to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus humbled himself and followed his Father's will. We should endeavour to do the same. In the second half of the verse, Paul explains why we should submit to one another. In the first half of the verse, we're told to submit one another, and in the second half, we learn why and how we should submit. The NIV that we've got here says we should submit out of reverence for Christ. Whilst the King James Version, which I know some people have in front of them, says we should submit in the fear of God. Let's just think about fear for a moment. Should we be afraid of God? Yes. It's only too right that we should be afraid of God, since he will judge us when the time comes, and we should never forget that he knows everything about us. Frightening. Frightening. With that thought in mind, Matthew quotes the Lord's words where Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 10, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." We know that God has great power that he uses as he wills. An example of that power comes in at the beginning of Acts chapter 5, where we can read of Ananias and his wife, who both dropped down dead after lying to the Holy Spirit. Always remember, God is the judge. However, going back to the NIV that we use, along with most other modern translations, it says that we should submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Words which carry a subtly different meaning. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour, and as such we should respect and honour him each and every day. The word reverence carries with it the meaning of awe, mingled with respect and esteem. And let's face it, there can be little doubt that Jesus is awesome. He willingly went to the cross to die on our behalf to pay the price for our sins. And then he rose again on the third day, just as he said he would. Seems only right that when we submit or defer to our brothers and sisters out of respect and honour for our risen Lord. Just to digress for a moment, we need to think about submission in other areas of life. It's important that in all parts of society there is law and order, since anything else leads to anarchy. And that's why Scripture also tells us to submit to governments and authorities. Paul backs up such thoughts in Romans 13, where he tells us, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." And he goes on a few verses later to add, "Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Whether we like the government or not, God has appointed them, and consequently we should submit to them." Now, as we come to look at the next few verses, from verse 22 onwards, we need to remember that when Paul wrote this epistle, the prevailing society was highly patriarchal. In other words, men ruled, and to some extent women were regarded as second-class citizens. In our modern politically correct and woke society, such a situation doesn't exist, which is why some people find these verses difficult to deal with. It's those prevailing attitudes towards women and marriage that suddenly makes these verses very controversial. However, for Bible-believing Christians, they should be relatively easy to understand and follow, given that the verses were actually written to Christian couples, and so that is our basic starting point. Despite that, though, I believe that they can also apply to couples where only one partner is a Christian, as well as quite likely to non-believing but loving married couples. I should point out, though, that this is not solely about wives, since Paul devotes twice as much space in this short passage to the role of husbands as he does to wives. Thank you for smiling. Once we get over the opening comment in verse 22 that wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord, we'll soon see Paul's instructions to husbands. Unfortunately, verses 22 to 33 are difficult verses which many don't read carefully enough. And as I've already hinted, the thought of women submitting to men in any way is anathema in the 21st century society in which we live. However, regardless of modern attitudes, this is God's plan for the family. And in too many cases, today's families do not reflect that glorious plan. Look around, and we see a proliferation of single-parent families, same-sex couples with children, families living apart, domestic disturbance. Now, I do accept that death can sometimes be the cause of single-parent families. But God intended families to consist of a man and his wife with children where possible. No other family structure fits that plan. In his commentary on this passage, John MacArthur discusses the breakdown of the family structure as designed by God. And he makes it clear that marital infidelity, exaltation of sexual sin, homosexuality, abortion, women's liberation, delinquency, and the sexual revolution in general have all contributed to the family's demise. And when you think about that carefully, I'm sure you'll agree that MacArthur is quite right. As I mentioned a moment ago, you need to read this short passage carefully to see that more is said about men and their behaviour than about women and wives. However, all too often, people read that first part in verse 22 and then skip over the rest of the passage on the basis that the verses don't fit modern thinking and so they can be ignored. Despite any misgivings people may have, These are important verses where Paul is writing to remind the Ephesian believers of God's plan for marital relationships. MacArthur points out that the relationship between husband and wife was to be modelled on that between Christ and his church. Just as Christ loves his church and gave himself for it, so our relationships are to be founded on love, humility, and mutual submission. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, that Christ willingly humbled himself and submitted to God's will by dying on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. Just as Christ submitted to his Father, wives are told at the beginning of verse 22 to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. In other words, this submission is to be humble and voluntary. The wife should be willing to submit to her husband and not do so out of fear or bullying. As part of this relationship, the husband is not to treat his wife as a slave, but as an equal. You may remember that Paul wrote to the Galatians and told them, "You are all one in Christ Jesus, and are therefore equals because of him." Now, many non-Christian wives would struggle to understand and comply with the instruction to submit, believing that it means subjugation to a man, and that is something which to some people carries the thought of coercion. That's not what Paul means or implies, which is why he adds that phrase, as to the Lord. As Christians, we're told to submit to the Lord. We've just been told in verse 21 to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, because we honour and revere Christ, a wife should submit to her husband as an act of humility, just as Christ was willing to humble himself. And Paul then adds in verse 23 that the husband is the head of the family, wife and family, just as Christ is the head of the church. Whilst all of this is wonderful, it isn't one-sided. Since just as the wife is told to submit to her husband, so the husband is told to love his wife just as much as he loves his own body. And with that in mind, let's move on to see excuse me, what he has to say to husbands about their responsibility. Possibly the first important thing to note is that nowhere does Paul mention domination of any sort. He does, however, mention that the husband's overriding action and focus should be on love. He mentions husbands and love five times in verses 25 to 33. In verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives." In the first part of verse 28, "Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies." And he qualifies that in verse 29 by saying, "No one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it." Which is why he tells us in the second half of verse 28, "He who loves his wife loves himself." And then adds in verse 33, "Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself." I don't think there's any ambiguity in these comments. Paul is making it crystal clear that love should be at the centre of the relationship. Although Paul has already said that wives should submit to their husbands, he ends the passage with the simple instruction in verse 33 that the wife must respect her husband. Remember, though, that respect has to be earned and cannot be demanded, which is why love and faith in Christ should always be at the centre. Now, I mentioned at the outset that these verses were written to believers in Ephesus, people who already knew and loved Christ and who knew, loved and followed God's word. However, scripture does acknowledge that there might be what one might call mixed marriages, where the wife is a believer but the husband isn't. And I would suggest, therefore, that Paul's instruction that wives should submit to their husbands still applies. And the Apostle Peter gives us a clue as to why that should be when he says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives." That's in 1 Peter 3 verse 1. And in the preceding verses, Peter has been talking about our being submissive to our rulers and masters, which is why he begins chapter 3 with that comment about wives. Now, although Scripture doesn't explicitly make any similar remarks about believing husbands and non-believing wives, I would suggest that if wives can influence husbands through their faith in Christ, I see no reason why husbands can't do the same in reverse. As Christians, we should always remember that people are observing our behaviour and attitudes, and so I see no reason why a non-believing spouse shouldn't observe their partner in that way and come to understand that they too need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. In verses 31 and 32, Paul goes on to liken a man and a woman being married to the relationship between Christ and his church. The church is a God-given gift to his family, and the relationship between Christ and his church is all part of God's plan for eternity. All those who come to faith in Christ as their Lord and Saviour become members of his church and have that special relationship with him. Marriage is also a God-given gift. And as Paul makes clear, it is intended to be between a man and a woman. In God's plan for his children, there is no other acceptable form of marriage. Modern society may disagree, but believers should always endeavour to follow God's word. So there you have it. Do you follow the world's ways, or do you follow God's ways? The world's ways for marriage and the family can only lead to destruction, while God's ways will lead to glory. In today's world, the standards for life and relationships are constantly shifting, generally for the worse. Attitudes and behaviour seem to be dictated by a faceless group dishing out woke opinions on social media that too many people take to be the truth. This sinful way of life can only lead to death, just as Paul tells us in Romans 6, where he reminds us that the wages of sin is death. If we follow God's ways, the standards for life and relationships are made very clear in God's word, and they are standards that never change and are given so that our lives may be spent in peace, love and happiness in God's presence. In the passage we've just looked at, Paul gives instructions on how Christians should behave towards one another in their marital relationships. His guidance isn't onerous, and the comment that wives should submit to their husbands isn't all that it may seem. Husbands too have responsibilities to their wives and need to play their part in the relationship that God has ordained for them. The relationship between wives and husbands should be focused on submission, love and respect, and should be conducted against the background of love and reverence for Christ. If you don't yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, then now could be a good time to come to him. Submit to him and enjoy that special relationship with him and the improved family relationships that it can bring. Amen. Amen.